You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
What's this button do? Whoa!
You are now entering the green world.
The University of Auckland's Ngā Ara Whetū, the Centre for Climate, Biodiversity and Society, are hosting a blue and green technology conference at the beginning of December, looking at how technology can be a part of a climate resilient future for New Zealand. I spoke with Professor Jacqueline Beggs, the co-executive director of Ngā Ara Whetū, who is organising the event, about the conference. I started by asking what the Blue and Green Tech Conference is all about.
Well, the conference is all about bringing together some brilliant minds so that we can tackle some of our biggest environmental challenges, going from climate change through to biodiversity loss and pollution. So what we're saying is that innovation has to be a part of the solution because governments alone aren't able to move fast enough. So bringing together researchers, entrepreneurs, communities to help, you know, with the stepping up of what we need to do to create new tools. That's kind of the purpose of the conference, is let's get people together. We don't just want a talk fest where people talk at each other. We want people interacting, meeting, reflecting on where are the challenges, where can we work together. So yeah, for me it's exciting. It's we're aiming to have a great mix of engineers, ecologists, Māori knowledge holders, investors, startups, all in the same room sharing what's working and what's next.
What are some of the topics and speakers you're in particular looking forward to most?
Oh, so many. It's hard to pick favourites. I'm excited that we've got Matt Kennedy Good coming. So he's part of the Neocrete company. So they are doing some really exciting work where they're looking at re-engineering concrete so that it becomes regenerative, carbon zero and more resilient at lower cost. So the whole aim of Neocrete is to cut global carbon emissions, because concrete is such a big industry. Potentially that will reduce emissions by about 1% by 2033. So that's huge. You know, that's a transformative change that those folk are aiming to lead. And so they're now, you know, it's a New Zealand initiative, but they're now expanding into Southeast Asia and Europe. So very exciting. I guess one of my personal favourites that I'm looking forward to is Patrick Cahill from the Cawthron Institute is going to be joining us. So he's a marine biologist that is pioneering environmentally safe anti-fouling solutions. So I have to confess to a personal interest because I own a yacht, and so I'm really interested in what are the sustainable anti-fouling options that are effective that are coming online, because that's an area where any boaty will know there's some issues there and finding things that are sustainable and effective.
I was having a look at the draft program, and one of the first topics I saw will be this twin transition of green and digital. I was wondering if you could explain what this is and why this is so important looking into the future.
Yeah, well, I think one of the issues is how do we accelerate solutions? And so the challenge really is speeding up in scale. And obviously there's been a massive advance in digital technology. I mean, most people are now familiar with the burgeoning field of AI, and there's where the world grapples with how to use that appropriately. So weaving those kind of novel technologies and potential solutions into what we're doing is, you know, a key way that we can leverage some of the ideas, cool innovative ideas that we see coming up into, you know, on the ground impact.
I mean, this is definitely something that I can see is integrated into the conference. Why is it so important that these kinds of discussions take on a multinational approach rather than state by state, kind of looking at climate solutions and looking into the future for clean tech?
Well, you know, I think the research is very clearly pointing to the dire state that the world is rapidly dropping into. And And, you know, we are one planet. And so finding these truly globally sustainable solutions, it's not going to be one part of the globe that solves it. It's not going to be one discipline that solves it. You know, we have to work together. We have to share, we have to innovate, and we have to implement in socially just sensible ways so that we actually can start to slow and ideally reverse some of the environmental concerns that are, you know, just continue to escalate.
What is the role of businesses and industry leaders in driving these climate solutions in your view?
Well, I think for me it's really heartening to see businesses and all types of businesses start to take on board these issues in a serious way. I mean, there's been a lot of greenwashing over the years and a lot of rhetoric, but now, excitingly, we're starting to see businesses actually help to drive some of these solutions. So serving both people and planet is kind of what we say. So responsible innovation is what we need. And I think we're increasingly seeing businesses that are interested in more than just the financial benefits. And if we get this right, I'm not saying we won't garner financial benefits, there's certainly, but it's not just that that needs to drive it. It needs to be those environmental concerns and our concerns about people. Like, you know, there's a solution that just delivers a financial outcome while trashing our biodiversity or communities, that's not a solution, is it? We need things that actually hit that sweet spot that delivers to all those important factors.
You mentioned before in the program you have some speakers like Māori leaders who will be talking about the kind of Maturanga Māori and how that's kind of integral to climate solution building in New Zealand. Can you talk about why this was so important to add to the program and how this kind of knowledge is being incorporated into the wider development of solutions and collaboration?
Sure. I think for me, and it's an area where Aotearoa New Zealand arguably is leading globally, is weaving in the expertise and knowledge of Indigenous communities that bring a different world view to how you can solve some of these issues. So weaving that in and supporting, you know, the kind of initiatives that are being driven by Indigenous peoples, I think it's exciting. It brings us potentially to a new way of envisaging and doing those things. So Dan Hikoroa, who's an expert in weaving Indigenous knowledge and science, for instance, will talk about some of the initiatives he's been involved in. And then we've also got Māori people in business that are contributing. So folk like Milan Rooker, who's the director of Mana Wairua Energy. So Milan is looking at ways that, you know, that ground environmental stewardship and Māori develop to Mana o te wai principles that prioritise the health and integrity of water systems. So by taking that as a lens rather than perhaps a more traditional business approach, then he brings, you know, a new kind of visionary approach to how we can harness marine energy as a public good.
How would you like to see the government supporting these green transitions and the pursuit of some of these other themes for climate solution building, I suppose?
Yeah, I would love that our government was far more future focused on the types of innovative technology that we see coming with these blue-green technologies, rather than, you know, dropping back into New Zealand's traditional areas, which tend to be extractive industries. They are trying to change and they're making some steps forward, but really we need to move away from how we used to make our money in the past, because demonstrably those initiatives have helped deliver us into the state of the environment that we currently are. So I think there's a lot of exciting new things on the horizon and that are showing huge promise on the international scene. And I would like to see the government putting more effort and recognition into those. And that goes right across the whole industry. So right from New Zealand's Marsden Fund, which is, you know, really the seedbed of that fundamental research for the development of new technologies that we now depend on. So right from that end of the spectrum through to the, you know, implementation and scaling up of these startup industries that are developing technology that actually make the impact on the ground. So, you know, it's a whole of system response that I think shows a lot of promise and is the way forward for the future.
For listeners interested, how would you encourage people to come along to this conference or get involved in this conference in December?
Right, well, for the people wanting to do a deep dive, come and join the conference, sign up and come along for 2 days of exciting discussions. But for the general public, if you're just really interested to see what's going on, we're also running an expo, a clean tech expo, as part of the event on Monday. And the first part of that will just be for delegates attending the conference. But for 2 hours on the 2nd of December in the afternoon, it'll be open, free to the public. Come along. Auckland Council have very generously come to the party and supporting. They're providing a free ice cream cart and a free coffee cart to help keep people in. But, you know, the innovators and the people working to develop these things, they'll be there for you to come and see what's going on. So for anybody that's able to get to Auckland at that time, you'd be very welcome. We'd love to see you.
That was University of Auckland Biological Sciences Professor Jacqueline Beggs talking about the Blue and Green Technology Conference.
That was The Green World.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.